The Kraft Foods Company brings you The Adventures of the Falcon, starring Les Damon.
Hello? Yes, this is the Falcon speaking. Oh, Myra. Oh, thanks for calling, but I can't make it tonight, Angel. Now, I have a client who's getting a lot of help from her boyfriend, and if I'm not careful, he's going to help her right into the electric chair.
This is Ed Hurley, friends, inviting you on behalf of the Kraft Foods Company to listen to The Adventures of the Falcon. You met the Falcon first in his best-selling novel. Then you saw him in his thrilling motion picture series. Now join him on the air when the Falcon solves the case of the broken fingerprint. Before the Falcon solves tonight's case, let's listen to this.
Miracle Whip
has a flavor so pleasing.
Miracle Whip
tastes so lively, so teasing.
Miracle Whip,
only one of its kind.
Miracle Whip,
best salad dressing you'll find.
Miracle Whip tastes really good. Not too sharp, not too mild, but just exactly right. And Miracle Whip tastes different, too. Different from any other salad dressing. Try it yourself. See why it's America's favorite salad dressing. The one and only Miracle Whip. And now, the case of the broken fingerprints. It's Wednesday night in New York, and the apartment of Barry Barrow in the East 60s is in darkness. Ethel Barrow sits in the darkened apartment, drumming on the arm of her chair with her fingernails. Now she reaches out to the table beside her and fumbles about on it for a cigarette lighter. She finds the lighter, lights it, and uses its light to show her the time on her wristwatch. But when she hears voices outside the apartment, she flicks out the light quickly and stands up facing the door. A key turns in the lock. Front door opens. The light is turned on. And a man and woman enter.
Ethel.
Hello, Barry.
Oh, well, when did you...
I decided not to go away after all. I thought things might be more interesting around here. Huh. Well, aren't you going to introduce me to your friend?
Yes, Barry. How about it? Who is this?
Norma,
Perhaps I'd better, since he's having so much trouble. I'm his wife, Ethel Barrow. And you're Norma Wallace. You live at 321 Pierce Place. You work at Corby's department store, and you've known Barry for 3 months. I know all about you, Miss Wallace. Though I can't say I'm pleased to meet you.
Barry, you never told me...
I was going to.
When? When you got tired of me?
Or me.
What can I say?
If we give you a couple of minutes to get over the shock, darling, I'm sure you'll think of plenty to say. But it's what you do that interests me.
What do you expect me to do?
I expect you to act like a heel. You always have.
You want a divorce, Ethel?
I'm not so sure I want to make things that easy.
Do you want a divorce, Barry?
I don't know what I want.
I know what you want. You want an easy out. This is one of those times when three is a crowd. Somebody has to be eliminated. The only question is, who is it to be?
Yes, what can I do? Oh, Ted, what are you doing here?
I'm just shopping. I'd like a 5-pound box of chocolate. Send it to Norma Wallace, 321 Pierce Place, with all my love.
Ted, please.
I'm taking you to lunch.
You won't believe it's all over between you and me.
Just because of Barrow? Oh, he's got money, but I've got charm. Besides, I'm serious.
So's he.
Want to bet?
He asked me to marry him.
You're not going to.
As soon as he gets his divorce.
Divorce? I didn't know he was married.
Neither did I.
Nice guy.
He was going to tell me.
Was going to? Does that mean that you found out for yourself?
I met his wife.
Well, it gets better all the time. You picked a Lulu. Now, look, Norma, no matter how things are between us, you can't go on with a guy like that.
No lectures, Ted. I'm not a child.
Then don't act like one. You've got to break this off.
We're settling it tonight. He's coming up to my place. We're going to make our plans.
Does his wife know?
No.
Norma, you
Let's
can't...
Let's not discuss it here.
All right, at lunch.
If you insist. But I'm warning you, you'll be wasting your time.
I'll risk it. If there's any chance I can keep you from wasting your life. Hello?
Ted, can you come here right away?
Where are you?
At home.
What happened?
It's awful. I should have listened to you.
What is it?
I told you Barry was coming up here.
Yes.
When I got home, he was already here.
Well?
I found him on the floor. He's dead.
Ted, come in.
Yeah.
There he is.
Did you touch anything?
No, that's just the way I found him.
How'd he get in? Did he have a key?
No. I don't know how he got in. Maybe the door was open.
Oh, that's no good.
Well, he doesn't have a key.
Norma, I'm trying to help you.
If you don't believe me, search him.
All right, he doesn't have a key. Then how are we going to explain his being here?
I don't know.
We'll have to think of something. Can't afford any holes in your story.
But what can we say?
You'll have to make up some explanation that'll hold water.
Maybe I'd better just call the police and tell the whole truth as far as I know it.
You asked me to help you, didn't you?
Yes.
Then do it my way.
But he was here. That's the truth. Why can't I just say
it? They'll never believe it. I don't believe it.
It's the truth.
There's no use repeating that. It's just no good. Now, let's see. He was killed here. There's no avoiding that. But the door being unlocked will never stand up. I know.
What?
You can say you were here when it happened. You let him in.
Oh, no, Ted.
Don't worry.
But then I'd have seen...
Not necessarily. I'll drag him over here to the door. Then I'll tell you what to say, and then you'll call Michael Waring.
Michael Waring?
Yeah, the Falcon. He's a private detective.
But what do I want with him? He might find out something the police overlooked. If it's something we're trying to
that's
hide...
That's the chance we'll have to take, and that's just the point. If you were guilty, you wouldn't want to take that chance. By hiring Waring, you convince the police of your innocence.
Well, I hope you know what you're doing.
Don't worry, darling. You can stake your life on it.
I'd better be able to, Ted. Because that's exactly what I'm doing. When I found out he was married, I didn't want to have anything to do with him. But you know how it is, Mr. Waring. He wouldn't take no for an answer. He found out where I lived and came up to see me.
And you gave him the final brush, hmm?
Yes.
And then?
Went to the door, opened it, and then he saw someone in the hall. They had a few words, and then there was a shot.
What words?
I don't remember exactly. He said something like, "Oh, it's you." And she said, "Yes. Surprise, isn't it?" I think that's what it was.
You say she said?
Yes, it was a woman's voice.
But you didn't see her?
No, he was in the way.
No? Where were you?
Right over here.
That's funny.
What is?
That he blocked your view of the doorway. You say he dropped immediately when he was shot and you haven't touched anything.
That's right.
And to block your view, he would have had to be standing in the doorway. And he fell forward because he's lying on his face, so he should have fallen into the hall. Instead, he's in the room into the side of the door so that we can swing it open and closed without hitting him.
Well, maybe he staggered back.
Did he?
I don't remember. I was too startled. He must have.
Uh-huh.
What are you doing?
What you should have done when it happened instead of calling me and calling the police.
But you are going to help me.
Well, I'll try to find out who the murderer is if you still want me to. But I'm not so sure that comes under the heading of help, are you?
Hello, Mike.
Well, hi, Ed. How's business?
Oh, hectic. And for you, too.
Huh?
Yeah, Sergeant Corbett has phoned three times for you this morning.
Oh, thanks, Ed. I told him I was having lunch here. What did he want?
Oh, I don't know, but he sounded sore.
Well, now what can be troubling him? Mm-hmm. I called him in on the case as soon as things broke yesterday.
Well, all I know is he keeps calling here and he sounds like he has more than hamburger and coleslaw on his mind.
Well, maybe he has. But you know, right at this moment, I don't. I'm hungry.
All right, what'll it be, Mike?
Well, I don't know. Let's see, Well, as far as I'm concerned, Ed's Luncheonette serves the best hamburger in town.
That's right.
All right, make it a nice big one. Some French fries.
And some of my special coleslaw.
Yeah. trying to sneak a salad in on me again, huh?
Now, Mike, you know you've got to eat salad.
Uh-huh.
They got lots of vitamins and minerals and stuff you should have.
Yeah, sure.
Honestly, you think they didn't taste good the way you talk.
Well, I didn't say that.
Well, I should hope not. My salads taste mighty good.
Mm-hmm.
And you know why?
Yes, because you make them with your own lily white hands from recipes handed down from your great-great-grandmother on your father's side.
Yes. No, Mike. Not at all. It's the salad dressing I use. It's Miracle Whip.
Shh, not so loud. Somebody might be listening.
Oh, it's no secret, Mike. Folks everywhere know about Miracle Whip.
Huh?
Why, the Kraft salesman told me just yesterday. that more Miracle Whip is sold than the next 20 leading brands of salad dressing combined.
Mm.
So it's America's favorite salad dressing. Imagine that.
Yeah, well, I'll try. Does it come in a solid gold jar or something?
No, Mike. It's just mighty good tasting. And folks know a good thing when they taste it.
Mm-hmm.
Miracle Whip has a swell, peppy flavor. A flavor that isn't too sharp, either. Mm. My customers call it just right.
I see.
And you know, Miracle Whip tastes different, too.
Oh.
Because it really is a different kind of salad dressing. That's why they call it the one and only.
Ed.
Yes, Mike?
Now that I've succeeded in getting you all excited about what seems to be your favorite subject, I better tell you.
Well, tell me what?
I've been enjoying Miracle Whip on salads for years.
No kidding.
Yeah, sure. After all, I should know my salad dressing.
How come?
Well, I've had dates with lots of peaches. But I'll settle for an order of coleslaw right now.
That'll be a pleasure, Mike. I know you'll like it. Uh-oh. Hmm? That's more than I can say for your interview with Sergeant Corbett. Oh, here he comes. And if you think I was kidding about his being sore, catch that look in his eye.
All right, Waring, where is she?
Where is who?
Of course you don't know who I'm talking about.
Well, I'm glad we agree on something.
The girl, Norma Wallace. You're working for her.
And you found it out all by yourself. All right, what do you want, a pat on the head or a recommendation to the chief?
I want to know what's become of the girl.
Well, I assume she's done a vanishing act.
You assume. I questioned her last night. Went to talk to her again today.
And she stood you up. Well, you better start reading the ads, chum.
You know where she is.
Your confidence is touching. But as a matter of fact, Corbett, I haven't the slightest idea.
Oh, you're working for her.
Yes, so you said. So I ought to be the one who's excited, not you. Seems I've lost a client.
Oh, stop being funny.
Oh, thanks for the compliment.
Are you going to talk?
Yeah, gladly. What about?
All right, Waring, all right. But I'm going to prove you've been holding out, and when I do...
Oh, I shudder to think of it. Come on, sit down, Corbett. I see they have brains on the menu today. Why don't you try some? Hello, are you Mrs. Barrow?
Yes.
My name is Michael Waring. I'm investigating your husband's murder.
Are you a detective?
Yes.
That girl sent you.
What girl?
Norma Wallace.
What do you know about her?
Enough.
Enough to be jealous,
That's what she'd like you to think, Mr. Waring. She wants you to believe that I killed Barry.
You had motive.
So did she. It takes three to make a triangle. And then there's Donahue.
Who?
Ted Donahue. He fits another triangle, and I'm not in that one.
Oh, how so?
He was the Wallace girl's boyfriend. He could have resented Barry's cutting him out.
Yes, so he could. Oh, thank you, Mrs. Barrow. I knew you'd help me.
You're easy to satisfy.
Well, I'm not striking you off my suspect list yet. But right now, I'm not looking for the murderer. I'm looking for my client.
Yes? What do you want?
Are you Ted Donahue?
Yeah. Who are you?
Mike Waring. May I come in?
Why?
I want to talk to you.
What about?
Norma Wallace.
We can talk here.
Yes, but it'll be more comfortable inside.
What do you want to know?
Where she is.
What makes you think I'd know?
Well, you're trying to keep me out, for one thing.
You think she's here?
I'm beginning to.
All right. Come on in. Look for yourself.
Thanks. That's better.
I haven't seen Norma in weeks.
Why not? You get the air?
No, it's just that I never knew Norma very well.
Mm-hmm. That's not what she says.
What do you mean? She didn't tell you anything about me.
How do you know if you haven't seen her?
There's nothing to say.
Okay, if Norma isn't your girl, who is?
I don't have a girl.
Then who's the girl who was up here a little while ago?
What girl?
The one who left the lipstick on that glass.
Well, just a friend?
No. Well, do you mind if I take this glass?
What do you want with it?
I'm looking for Norma. I think you're a lead, but in case Corbett needs convincing, it may be the prints on this glass that will change his mind for him.
Put that down.
Look, I'll buy a dozen like it.
I said put it down. Hey, watch out. Give me that glass.
Now, you shouldn't have knocked it out of my hand. Now it's broken.
Isn't that a shame? Here go your fingerprints.
No, not mine, Norma's.
You can't prove that.
Looks like you've already done it for me. Are you going to tell me where I can find her?
I don't know where she is. Now get out of here.
Okay. But when you see Norma, tell her...
I'm not going to see her.
I know, but when you do, tell her that if she wants me to help her, she'd better call me. Hmm?
Hello?
Norma, listen quick. Right after you left, Mike Waring was here.
He was? How did he know about you?
Oh, I suppose he's not a detective for nothing.
Oh, Ted, I'm afraid my running away was a mistake.
It was no use taking chances, but I've got to talk to you.
All right, where shall I meet you?
Well, you can't come here, and I've got to be careful I'm not followed. Waring may think I'll lead him to you.
Well, what are we going to do?
Go to Penn Station. You can keep yourself lost in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
At 3:30 by the station clock, go upstairs on the 7th Avenue side. You know, where the big columns are.
Yes.
At exactly 3:30, walk out to the curb. I'll drive by and pick you up.
All right.
I'll make sure I'm not being followed. But if anything goes wrong, you just wait 2 minutes. If I haven't come in that time, get away from there fast. Then call me from a phone booth.
All right, Ted, but I wonder if it wouldn't be better if I...
It'll be better if you do just like I tell you. I'll see you at 3:30.
All right, Norma, quick.
Yes, Ted.
3:30 on the nose.
I don't like this hide-and-seek, Ted. It's going to mean trouble.
Will you leave things to me?
But how will I explain it?
You won't have to. You and I know that Mrs. Farrell killed her husband, and the police are bound to find it out. Once they do, it won't matter what you've done.
Then why is it necessary for me to run away?
I told you, they can't prove anything against you, but until they have a case against Mrs. Farrell, they may suspect you. They could lock you up and make things pretty unpleasant.
Well, this isn't exactly my idea of pleasant. Only there was some way to speed things up.
Maybe there is. That's why I wanted to see you.
You think there's something we can do?
Yeah, but first you'll have to get rid of Waring.
But you wanted me to hire him.
I know, but he's getting in the way. And for what I have in mind... Uh-oh.
What's the matter?
Police car. I think it's following us.
I thought you said no one...
I did. I was positive nobody followed me. I can't understand it.
Maybe they're just cruising this way.
I'll turn this corner and see.
All right. If they are following, what do we do?
Try to shake them.
I hate to get you involved.
I'm glad I have a chance to help.
Here they come.
And here I go.
I'm afraid this isn't such a good idea.
What else can we do?
I don't know, but trying to outrun a police car...
Hang on, corner coming.
All right. If they catch us, it's going to mean trouble for you, too.
I know.
They're gaining.
And look at that. Traffic's against us. We'll never get through. Well, this is it. Sorry, Norma.
You couldn't help it.
All right, buddy, what's the hurry?
What?
Didn't you see that red light back there?
Red light?
Yeah, when I tried to call you on it, you stopped playing tag.
You want me for going through a red light?
You're hitting 60 in city traffic.
Oh.
Your girlfriend thinks it's funny.
Officer, she has a screwy sense of humor. Don't pay any attention to her. Here's my license.
Hello, is that Mr. Waring?
Yes. This sounds like my disappearing client.
Oh, ex-client, Mr. Waring. That's why I'm calling.
You picked a great time to fire me.
I don't think I need you anymore.
If Sergeant Corbett catches up with you, you'll think differently.
Does he really think I killed Barry?
You lied. You ran out. What do you expect him to think?
But I hired you.
Yes, and now you're firing me. Your hands look about as clean as some of the Kefauver witnesses.
But it was Mrs. Barrow who killed Barry. You know that.
Corbett doesn't. He's satisfied with her alibi.
Oh, she has an alibi?
Yeah, she has. So you better come clean, Angel.
I have. I didn't do it.
Well, then why this weird routine?
I have my reasons.
Well, they better be good ones. You're on the spot, baby.
Yes, I'm afraid I am.
Well, I'm still willing to listen if you want to forget about firing me. Provided, of course, that you have something to say.
I have.
All right, go ahead.
Well, it's just that Ted and I thought...
Who's Ted?
A friend of mine. I called him when I discovered the body.
Oh, before you called me?
Before I did anything. I decided I had to have help, and luckily he was home.
Wonder if it was so lucky.
Why do you say that?
His help didn't turn out so good.
Well, it was his idea that I hire you.
Mm-hmm. Was it also his idea that you fire me?
Yes.
Well, he seems to have a lot of ideas. Look, where are you? I think we better get together.
At the Burroughs Hotel on 43rd, room 405.
Okay, sit tight. I'll be right over.
All right, goodbye.
Is that the way you fire him, Norma?
Ted, I didn't know you were still here.
Looks like it's a good thing I am.
Yes, Ted. The only question is, good for whom?
Well, I can answer Norma's question, good for whom? They're good for everyone. I mean, salads are good for everyone. And they're mighty good eating, too, when you make them with Miracle Whip.
Miracle Whip.
Has a flavor so pleasing.
Miracle Whip.
Tastes so lively, so teasing.
Miracle Whip.
Only one of its kind.
Miracle Whip.
Best salad dressing you'll find.
Miracle Whip is the only one of its kind. Because it's a different type of salad dressing made from a secret craft recipe. Miracle Whip combines the best qualities of boiled dressing and old-fashioned mayonnaise, so it's truly distinctive and delicious, with a flavor millions of folks call just exactly right. Try it, won't you? One taste will tell you why it's America's favorite salad dressing, the one and only Miracle Whip. Now, back to the adventures of the Falcon. 10 minutes have passed since Mike Waring talked himself off the unemployment line. Ted had objections, but he seems to have been overruled. Because when Norma opens the door for the Falcon, Ted is nowhere in sight.
Hello, Mr. Waring. Come in.
Thanks. What's the matter with you? You look frightened.
Frightened? No. Just bewildered.
About what?
You said Mrs. Barrow has an alibi.
According to Corbett.
I don't understand it.
Why not?
I told you Barry went to the door and I heard him talking to someone just before he was shot.
Yeah.
I said it was a woman's voice. I'm almost certain it was Mrs. Barrow.
Well, why didn't you say that before?
I didn't like to accuse her without being sure.
What made you change your mind?
I haven't. I just want you to check. Couldn't there be something wrong with her alibi?
Yes, there could be, but not as wrong as with your story.
What do you mean?
You're lying again.
I'm not.
You didn't hear Barrow talking to anybody.
What makes you say that?
When you spoke to me on the phone, you used the phrase, when I found the body.
But
if Barrow had been killed in front of you, you wouldn't have talked about finding the body. You wouldn't have had to find it. Would have been right there.
I meant when I found he was dead.
Well, that's not what you said.
You misunderstood me.
Yes, and apparently I still do. I suppose we go see Sergeant Corbett and get this straightened out.
No.
Look, you can't keep running.
I can try. And in case you have any idea of trying to stop me, this gun should change your mind.
Well, it's changed. But not as often as you change yours. Goodbye, Norma. Well, Angel, have you changed your mind again?
Let me in.
Yeah, sure. Now, look, before we go any further, I'm taking the gun, just in case you decide to make another switch.
Here it is. It's not loaded.
Now she tells me.
I'm sorry about what happened. I couldn't help myself.
Well, I can't help yourself either unless you start telling the truth for a change.
I will.
Okay, at least that'll be a novelty. Go ahead.
I didn't see the shooting. I didn't hear any voices, Mrs. Barrow's or anyone else's. I just said I did because Ted told me it would sound better that way.
Mm-hmm.
Ted told me what to say. He told me to run away.
Look, did you have to take orders from him?
I thought he was trying to help me.
Some help.
I was frightened. I had to turn to someone. I trusted Ted. Then he told me to fire you. I tried, but you talked me out of it.
Yeah, but somebody talked you out of that.
Yes. Ted overheard my conversation with you. He was furious. He made me say what I did to you when you got up there. He was hiding in the next room.
And if you had disobeyed?
He had a gun, and his was loaded.
Does he know you came here?
Of course not. If he finds out...
Well, he won't find out. Where is he now?
He went home. Thinks I went home.
How come he trusted you?
He said if I didn't do exactly what he told me, he'd prove that I killed Barry. But I know he can't, so if you'll help me,
all I can... All right, I will. Now call him. Tell him you've got to talk to him. Ask him to come right over. It'll take him 20 minutes to get to your place. By that time, we can be there, too.
But what are we going to do?
Well, first, I'll have to have all the facts. So, for a change, let's have exactly what did happen today from the beginning.
All right. I let myself into the apartment, and there was Barry on the floor. Blood still running out of that hole in his head. It was awful. Who's that?
I don't know.
What if it's Ted? What if he didn't go home, if he followed
me? All right, I'll handle it.
Can I get out the back?
Now, just sit tight. If it is Ted, now's the chance to wrap this up, and I can't do it without you. Yeah, I'm coming. You'll be all right. Just leave it to me.
If you say so.
I do. Oh, Sergeant Corbett, this is a surprise.
Oh, I see. You didn't know where the girl was, did you, Waring? You couldn't help me find her. Oh, no.
That's right, Corbett.
Sure. Well, Miss Wallace, has Waring finished coaching you on what to say?
No, I didn't have to, Corbett. She had lessons from an expert.
Huh?
Yeah, she called him in as soon as she found the body. He told her what to say and do.
That's right.
Who's this we're talking about?
Ted Donahue.
And he told her to run out on me?
Yep.
I'd like to talk to this Donahue.
Well, that can be arranged. But first, I'd like to hear the medical examiner's report.
Well, what's to hear? Bullet in the brain, died instantly. 32 caliber.
Okay, okay, that's enough.
All right, Waring. Do we see Donahue?
If you like.
I like. But don't get the idea that because I'm willing to listen, you're steering me off your girlfriend here.
But, Sergeant...
And as for you, Waring, I'm going to prove you knew where she was.
Oh, think whatever you want about me, Corbett. But you can't think that Norma did the shooting.
Oh, can't I?
Of course not.
Why not?
Because she did.
What's that?
Sure, Norma, you killed Barry. So with Corbett's habit of always being wrong, he can't possibly think it was you.
Coffee Danish head, please. I missed dessert before.
Well, Mike, we've got the motive. When it came to a showdown, Barrow decided to stick with his wife. So, Norma plugged him.
Yeah, keep it up, Corbett. You're doing fine.
Well, what's to keep up? That's it?
Well, not entirely. How about the clue that gave her away?
She must have said something to you.
Well, don't you want to know what it was?
All right, Waring. If you've got to strut your stuff, go ahead. How did you happen to stumble onto this one?
Stumble, he says.
Well, what do you want me to do? Beat my head on the floor in appreciation?
That's an idea.
Well, if you want to tell me how bright you are, go ahead. I'm listening. But get it over with.
Well, Norma played along with Ted Donahue in order to have a fall guy in reserve. And he was crazy enough about it to try to keep her out of trouble. Anyway, when it turned out that Mrs. Barrow had an alibi that satisfied the police, Norma decided to make use of Ted. Only, she went a little too far.
How so?
Well, if she'd just left it at the things he actually did, she might have been all right. But she tried to tell me he pulled a gun on her and threatened her. Well, he only would have done that if he were actually the killer.
Well, that's what she was trying to prove.
Yes, but since he couldn't be the killer, it gave her away.
Couldn't? Why not?
Well, you said Barrow was killed instantly. And Norma admits that when she found him, he was still bleeding. And bleeding stops a few minutes after a person dies.
Well, so why couldn't she have found him in the first few minutes?
Because she told me that as soon as she found the body, she called Donahue at his home. Well, Donahue lives at least 20 minutes away from Norma. If he was home, he just couldn't have been at Norma's.
Oh, huh? Well, Waring, nice try.
Try? Solve the case.
Yeah, but you were trying to show me how bright you are. Can't say that I'm impressed. After all, you pulled quite a boner.
What?
You pin the murder on the girl, and she happens to be a dainty dish.
Mm-hmm.
But who wants to go dating at Sing Sing?
Well, you got a point there, Corbett. But you're overlooking one thing.
What's that?
Mrs. Barrow. Now, she's going to be lonely. A few months from now, she's going to want someone to cheer her up. To wine her, dine her, do the town. And speaking of dishes, Corbett, that's mine.
Did you know that you can make a rich, delicious, chocolate-flavored malted milk right in your own kitchen? Well, you can, and easily, with Kraft's wonderful chocolate-flavored malted milk. Just make a tasty paste of some Kraft malted milk and a little milk in the bottom of a tall glass. Fill that glass with chilled milk, stir it again, and there you are. Your Kraft malted is delicious, and it's mighty nourishing, too, because it's full of all the food values in milk. Enjoy a Kraft malted often. Get a jar of Kraft chocolate-flavored malted milk from your grocer tomorrow. The Case of the Nervous Shakedown. The Case of the Nervous Shakedown. That's the title of next week's Adventure of the Falcon, when Mike Waring learns that what some people try to get away with is pure, unadulterated murder. So be sure to listen at this same time next week to another exciting Adventure of the Falcon, brought to you by the Kraft Foods Company. The Adventures of the Falcon are based on the famous character created by Drexel Drake, produced by Bernard L. Schubert, written tonight by Jerome Epstein, and directed by Richard Lewis. Music was by Arlo. Les Damon was starred as the Falcon, with Chuck Webster as Sergeant Corbett. This is Ed Hurley, he's speaking for the Kraft Foods Company.
Laugh with Groucho. He's next on NBC.